If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's me, Sam Stein, managing editor at The Bulwark, and I'm joined by our fearless publisher and new author, Sarah Longwell. Buy her book. I'm just getting into it. We are here right after Donald Trump finished a press conference. It's Monday afternoon when we're recording this. We're literally minutes from him finishing up. And Sarah hasn't seen it. I did see it. Well, I lie. I was listening to it on the way home from work, but I listened to it at least. And we want to talk about it. So Sarah, you're coming in cold, but I'll just say for me, and we'll play this clip first, the big standout is just the mixed messaging around the war that's happening right now, where you have the Department of Defense, I refuse to call it Department of War, saying, the mission's just getting started. And then you have Donald Trump telling reporters, in essence, we've basically done the job. And it's pretty close to over without being, you know, specific about how much longer there is. So let's play the clip of him saying that, and then you and I can talk about it on the flip side.
Mr. President, you've said the war is, quote, very complete, but your defense secretary says this is just the beginning. So which is it, and how long should Americans be prepared?
Well, I think
for
you could say it both. The beginning, it's the beginning of building a new country, but they certainly, they have no Navy, they have no Air Force, they have no anti-aircraft equipment. It's all been blown up. They have no radar, they have no telecommunications, and they have no leadership. It's all gone. So, you know, you could look at that statement. We could call it a tremendous success right now as we leave here. I could call it, or we could go further, and we're going to go further. But the big risk on that war has been over for 3 days. We wiped them out in the first 2 days.
All right. There you have it. It's both.
Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
Or mission just begun. We don't know.
Somebody get that man an aircraft carrier yes. to stand on and say, heck of a job, Brownie. Mission accomplished. So the thing is, okay, wait, you say that's mixed messages. I actually think it was pretty clear. The part that was accomplished was we bombed them. We killed yes. a lot of people. That's the part Trump likes. The big things go boom. And so he's like, and so we could walk away, but we're not. We're going to keep going. And I'm pretty sure do regime change. Like,
That's pretty much clear, evident.
Right?
Yes. And so we're not even dancing around that at this point. We're doing regime change.
Right. And so that to me, I guess it's not mixed messages. It's just him he wants to do the declaring of victory. He can't help himself. But there was nothing. And it was interesting. I saw, because he gave a little statement to some reporter earlier today, maybe it was the Wall Street Journal, suggesting this, like, oh, it's over right. and the markets rallied or whatever. Yep. But like, he doesn't have any idea what's happening. He wants to say, yes, we did the big bombing. And now we're like, it's like he doesn't know that now is the hard part. Now is the part that's tough.
He gave the statement around like 3:30, 4 o'clock. So a couple hours in advance of the press conference, right when the markets are about to close, he said, well, we're pretty much done. And of course, naturally, the markets rallied. They were thrilled by the news. But what was telling was that in that same statement, I forget who the reporter was. I think it was CBS, actually. He also was like, well, we might take over the Strait of Hormuz. And it's like, well, I guess we're not done. Like, are we going to actually take over this important waterway in the Middle East? And what does that mean? And wouldn't that make us vulnerable to attack? And wouldn't that require boots on the ground? Like, we're clearly not done. It's just to your point, he wants all the headlines. This is that's what he cares about.
I do think the market thought potentially that it was the Trump taco. Trump is going to go in. He's going to do his smash and grab job, and we're out. Either that or the markets become really untethered to reality. as untethered as Donald Trump is to reality. But there's no way to do what he has done at this point. I mean, did he address in this conference? I didn't see it. So I'm just here to react to the clips. But like,
sure.
did he react to the fact that it's Khamenei's son? Like, yes. We just have another Khamenei. What did he say to that?
So there was the backstory here is that there's been a couple bits of reporting, including from the Wall Street Journal, fairly gruesome actually, that he's like, you know, basically the United States is planning to kill the son too, or it's not ruling out killing the son too. And he was asked at various points at the press conference, like, how can you tolerate the Ayatollah's son just taking over? And would that be acceptable to you? And he's like, I'm not happy about it. And he made it clear that he didn't want to talk about what kind of remedy he would have. I laugh because it's so dark. At the same time, he said, I want someone internally to take over in Iran because I don't want, and he used the Iraq model. He said, I don't want to disband all these institutions, including the politicians. What really works is the Venezuela model. This is what he said. And he said, we have Delcy in Venezuela. She's doing great. She's given us 100 billion, million barrels of oil. We're loving it. I want that. He was very explicit. That's what he wants. The problem is he's killed them all. I mean, they were killed in the first strike. And so he's got nothing to go on here. Also, the other problem is the Iranians have a vote, or at least they have some sort of stake in the matter. So I don't see how this works out, but maybe he's got a different idea.
Also, Delcy was just the vice president of Venezuela. Like, she's not different in any way other than he feels like she owes him one and has more of like a hand to play with her than he did with Maduro.
Right.
But like, I don't think it's made anything better for the Venezuelans.
No.
So whatever. I don't know what to do about that. But also, like, how do you do that model in Iran? You don't. That's not a thing you can do. It does speak to how much I think, look, he gets his head turned by the discipline and the force of the American military, right? Like, it is a great and, you know, lethal institution. And so I think he does, because he's governed otherwise. I sort of said this on Tim's podcast, you know, otherwise he's got clowns all around him, right, who can't do the things that he wants to do. But the American military can. And so he watched what happened in Venezuela and thought, like, okay, now I can just go do that in Iran. But it really does. It's like learning absolutely nothing from Iraq and Afghanistan, but also coming from a guy who spent the whole last 10 years talking about how stupid they all were for everything they did in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, I think the Venezuela thing kind of clouded his judgment a little bit.
Right.
I mean, it went better than expected. He assumed you can apply it to every other country. He also talked openly about basically Cuba's next. He had his whole shtick, the easy way, the hard way, they're going to come next. So he clearly is in this place where he thinks he's just sort of like playing a game of Risk, right? And it's just
right.
Whatever country he wants next. But, you know, that's just not how it works. And unfortunately, there's now 7 dead service members. And we actually was asked about that. The reporter asked him, I think the reporter said 8. I'm not totally sure where 8 came from, to be honest. I was working off of 7. Put that aside. Can we play the clip of how we responded to that?
And as of today, there have been 8 U.S. military fatalities associated right. with the war in Iran. How many American deaths are you willing to have in this war?
Well, as I said before, when you have conflicts like this, you always have death. And I was at Dover yesterday. I met the parents, and they were unbelievable people. They were unbelievable people, but they all had one thing in common. They said to me one thing, every single one, finish the job, sir. Please finish the job. And I'll leave you at that.
Yeah, I don't know if they said that, but also there wasn't much of in the way of, like, you know, mourning in that statement from him. So I don't know. He processes stuff differently than I do, but it's clear that he's not really that much moved by it, and he feels like it's a game of Risk.
Yeah, I mean, again, at the risk of repeating something I said elsewhere, but I was on
Nicole okay.
the other day, and I got all worked up.
You're just
about
all over.
This.
You're all over the place. This is too much. Well, yeah.
This is the part that actually really frustrates me about Trump, or not. It frustrates isn't strong enough of a word. Trump lacks that thing that I think almost all other presidents have had, good or bad, their policies one way or the other, is that they take the deaths of Americans that they cause by their actions onto their hearts, right? Like, you could just tell that every single one of them feels the burden of the lives that are sort of in their hands. And it is infuriating, enraging, and just gross, but such a way that Trump is, right? His contempt for the American people is boundless. And he doesn't have that thing where he sort of takes on the horror of it in a way that, like, because it is one thing to say these things happen in war and every death is a tragedy. And like, you can tell when somebody, it keeps them up at night. The idea that their direct actions will end the lives of young men and women who've decided to serve. And it is true that it is a reality, but you want a president to not be cavalier about it, right? Yes. To sort of hold every life as valuable so that they don't make wanton decisions and just throw lives away. And he doesn't have that. And yeah. I think that is what makes him a scary figure in a war situation.
Well, and that's the other, you're talking about the morality of it and the empathy. And the other sort of real pressure point around that is what happened on the first days of the operation, the war, with respect to this school, this elementary school for girls that's apparently near this base in Iran. Multiple articles and reports have come in and video evidence suggesting that we were responsible for it. And Donald Trump has been asked about this repeatedly. He was on the plane yesterday and he said, nope, it was Iran, not us.
Mr. President, did the United States bomb a girls' elementary school in southern Iran on the first day of the war and kill 175 people?
Based on what I've seen, that was done by Iran.
Is that true, Mr. Hegseth? It was Iran who did that?
We're certainly investigating.
Still investigating.
But the only side that targets civilians is Iran.
We think it was done by Iran.
Can you give us an idea?
Because they're very inaccurate, as you know, with their munitions. They have no accuracy whatsoever. It was done by Iran.
And today he was pressed on it, not once, but twice. And the second time, kudos to the reporter who was like, hey, maybe let's play the clip and we can talk about this afterwards. Because there was finally this moment where Trump sort of gets brushed back, which happens so rarely in a press conference. And you can see that he actually can't turn to his pre-spin. And this is what happens.
You just suggested that Iran somehow got its hands on a tomahawk and bombed its own elementary school on the first day of the war. But you're the only person in your government saying this. Even your defense secretary wouldn't say that when he was asked, standing over your shoulder on your plane on Saturday. Why are you the only person saying this?
Because I just don't know enough about it. I think it's something that I was told is under investigation. But tomahawks are used by others, as you know. Numerous other nations have tomahawks. They buy them from us. But I will certainly, whatever the report shows, I'm willing to live with that report.
I mean, diametrically different than where he was a day ago. And kudos to the reporter. I forget who it was. But that was a follow-up question. And that's what you have to do. You have to pin him down and just say, you sound totally absurd. And you're saying things that no one else is saying.
A couple things. One, other countries may have tomahawks. Were any of them bombing Iran with us?
No, it doesn't make
any
sense.
So that's one. Two, when he's just like, I don't know, like that, this is what I mean. Any other president would have thought, okay, we missed our target. We murdered a bunch of children. And like, you can say that is sad. Like it is bad that we did that. Here's what we did. Like you take that. This is when you do a war, you have to approach it with the gravity of, I recognize that I am making choices that results in the loss of lives, many of them innocent people. And so like take responsibility for that. That's the leadership. That's what commanders in chief do. And he just doesn't do that. He just like denies that it happens. And that offends sort of everyone's sacrifice in these types of things. Just say that you're sorry. Yeah. Like say that you're sorry for that or say that it's horrible. But also the way he's just like, well, I don't know. It's like when they call Alex Pretty or Renee Good domestic terrorists. It's like they don't care if they're smearing people. They don't care if it's true. Like they have no fidelity to the truth, no interest in it.
Yeah, in a way, him saying, I don't know, after having already said that he believes it was the Iranians is worse, right? Because basically what he's essentially saying is, you know what? What I said yesterday when I was, you know, with conviction, insist it was the Iranians, that was a lie. I actually don't know. I mean, just basically cop to it. And to your point, it's devoid of any sort of moral clarity or sense of responsibility that you would think you would want. in that moment from someone who's ordering real life and death decisions, not just for Americans, but for Iranians and everyone else. You would want someone who would say, war's horrible and we bemoan every loss of life. We cherish life and this is a tragedy and we're looking into it and we promise we're going to get to the bottom of it. But he doesn't have that in him. And I guess my little closing question to you, because you talk to these people, it's part of your book. It's the essence of your book, but like that doesn't seem to bother a lot of folks. I guess half the country or so. Like they don't care about having a politician in the Oval Office who has a sense of empathy. They don't care about a defense secretary who, you know, doesn't talk about lethality and can actually talk about like the consequences and stuff. Why doesn't it matter more? Why are they attracted to that?
Yeah. I mean, look, I still can't, I can explain like the fact that for a lot of people, they see this as Trump being authentically himself. And and in their minds, many politicians participating in an artifice, like what they would see as an artifice of that empathy, like they don't believe those politicians.
Oh,
and
okay.
So they're like willing to be like, well, Trump doesn't really care. And so, see, that's him being authentic. But I got to say that that may be the reason. So like I could explain it, but I want to say like as a moral matter, the reason that it's wrong is that there's a lot of ways in which I think politics is going to have to change to meet the new moment and be in a different communications environment. And that is what the book is about.
You should tell people what the book is, the title.
How to Eat an Elephant One Voter at a Time. But I will say this is part of the book is this essential point, which is just because this is how Donald Trump behaves and it seems to be condoned by a lot of people. We should never imitate that, and we should never, ever. There are a lot of ways that, like I said, politicians, I think, can try to be more human. But this is one of those times where actually it's not the artifice of the job. This is when you need a president to be human. You need them to both you want them to be steely-spined, which is, I think, how people sort of interpret Trump, right? If the mission is righteous, that is a different debate, but like, if you think the mission is righteous, if you think it's worth costing American treasure, time, and lives, okay. But then, like, you own it morally and you take it seriously as a human for the loss of life. And I think that is where I can understand, or I know why voters respond to him the way they do. Although I got to say, also, I don't think we know yet how this is really going to turn out. Like, I am hearing in the focus groups a tremendous amount of skepticism from Trump voters about this war. And so the longer it goes on and the more loss of American lives, it'll be less about exactly how Trump reacts to them and more about where is Trump taking us and how is that impacting Americans?
Well, good news. It's over. Trump said it was over today. So don't worry about that. Also, we're going to be there for a while, but it's over. But we might take over the Strait of Hormuz. But it's over. All right, Sarah, thanks so much. Everyone should go out and get the, well, it's not out yet, but pre-order the book. Pre-order that fucker.
And then we'll stop plugging it. Nah. After every last one of you have pre-ordered it, we'll stop plugging it.
Once every book is bought, we will stop plugging it. All right, Sarah, thank you for doing this. I know it was late. I know you hadn't watched it, but I appreciate you coming on and talking about it. For those who did watch us, please subscribe to The Bulwark for great takes like this. Thank you for your support. We love you. Subscribe. Take care. We'll talk to you later.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
You know what quality feels like. You can see it in the way a fabric moves, recognize it in a flawless fit, and appreciate it in the details that make our styles unique. That kind of quality doesn't happen by accident. It happens with imagination, creativity, and intention. At Coldwater Creek, it's the design standard we've honored for over 40 years. Our rich mountain heritage has shaped how we think about clothing from the very beginning, with a commitment to quality that never quits. Exceptional fabrics, considered design, silhouettes we've made our own. The signature touches that set each piece apart and styles that are distinctively Coldwater Creek. For a wardrobe you can count on season after season, visit coldwatercreek.com. Shop new arrivals and save 15% on purchases $75 or more with code IHEART.